Cool. Microphone's working. Everyone can hear me? Everyone's head spruced up really quick. That's good. Thumbs up. I like that. Channel 9, you ready? Yeah, I think so. I think we're Channel 9 recording. I think so. I have no idea what's going on. This is session 3 after a keynote. I'm oblivious to anything that's happening. But it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be doing some web development. I don't know anything about the internet, but I'm going to make sure that I deploy an ASP.NET website. It's going to be great. I may even modify some Node.js. I'll have no idea what I'm doing. It's going to be great. But what we're going to focus on today is kind of the stuff that I care about, which is building great, beautiful mobile applications that can work anywhere, whether you have internet, whether you're on a plane, if you're in the middle of a field and you're a farmer, it doesn't matter. Your application should still be great everywhere that you could possibly be. So the session today, how many went to my Xamarin session earlier? A few of you, cool. So it's kind of extending that story. You're like, hey, James kind of showed me like doing this little thing and modifying this little thing around and showed me exactly why Xamarin is so freaking awesome. And what we're going to do today is build on top of that. We're going to say, hey, how can we actually connect this application up to the cloud? How can we make a great experience that works online and offline? How do I integrate push notifications? How to do file syncing? How do I do all this stuff in mobile applications? Now, while I'm going to focus today on the cloud backend, and I'm going to do all the demos in Xamarin, you can actually do these in any of your preferred language. You should use Xamarin, but if you happen to support a Java, an Objective-C, or a Cordova app, there's SDKs for everything I'm going to show you today. I just happen to be a C# Xamarin developer, because C# is the best language, and that's what we're going to use today. And let's go for it. So I'm going to turn on this clicker. Boom. So if you didn't come to my session, how many people didn't come to my session earlier? A few of you. Shame on you. It was great. I went 15 minutes over. It was awesome. No one cared. They're like, let's do this, because it was so good. I'm James Montemagno. I'm a principal program manager here at Microsoft on the Xamarin team. It's a very, very long, long name. I used to say this, I'm a developer. I work at Xamarin. It's awesome. And that's still what I do. I'm still a developer. I just happen to work at Microsoft in that awesome Death Star that I have to take a bus across the bridge for once a week. To actually go to Channel 9, I have a Channel 9 show called The Xamarin Show. Real creative. I was real creative in that title. And I do those recordings all the time. What's really cool about my job is that I still get to build mobile applications. It's what I fell in love with 5 years ago when I found Xamarin. I found iOS and Android. And I fell in love with C# and .NET over a decade ago, and I combined those things together, and it was just a beautiful thing. And I live in this wonderful place, Seattle, Washington. It's lovely. Everyone should move there and drink all of our amazing coffee, because that's what we have. We built a lot of coffee apps already. We're going to continue to build some coffee apps today. Favorite part of my job is not only getting to talk to all of you beautiful, lovely developers right in front of me, but it's that every single thing that I do, every app I create, every library I create, every sample I create, is open source on my GitHub. And I simply love doing it. I've shipped over 70 apps across all the app stores in the last 5 years. You can find me anytime, straightforward email, Motz, that's my nickname, Motz. It's a very shortened, weird abbreviation of Montemagno. I'm not sure why. That's like fifth grade shenanigans, but it stuck, and now I'm 30. Motz Codes is my blog. It's a very fancy .es domain name. I do not live in Spain, but Namecheap let me register it, so whatever, I'm good. That's my Twitter account and my GitHub. It's James Montemagno. There's not very many of us out there. It's me and my dad. He works with metal, and I work with devices and mobile applications, so very different industries, which is cool. So just Google me, you'll find me, it's awesome. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more of me, I'll just shamelessly plug my podcast that I do every week. It's called Merge Conflict. Great name. Great name. And a very expensive .fm domain name, by the way. You can find it at mergeconflict.fm. It's me and my buddy. We talk shop once a week, half an hour. It's awesome. Enough about me. Let's talk about apps. We love apps. If I look at my phone, I have hundreds of apps installed. It's crazy. Nearly every single day, 200 million apps are downloaded from the App Store. And millions and more are deployed inside of enterprise, internal stores. We spend tons of time just on our phone, over 200 minutes on any single given day. And of that time, we're not using it to make phone calls or send text messages. We're using it to use those apps that we downloaded from the App Store. Nearly two-thirds of our time is spent inside of those apps coming from the App Store. So it's true, we love mobile applications. We just love it. And the app stores aren't going away anytime soon. And what's interesting is developers, as time goes on, it's really showing that the best applications, not necessarily the first application to the market, but the best application stands out in the App Store. Now, on average, this is a survey from Google. Google has lots of information, and they did some analysis of Google Play, their App Store on Android. And they said, well, we would like to kind of know, like, how many apps on average are people installing? And the average user installs 36 apps from the App Store, which is quite a bit of apps. Then I looked at my phone, and I had 150, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And then I looked at someone's iPhone, and they had like 1,000, and I was like, I don't know where these metrics are coming from. They're all hidden in folders. But what's interesting here is that, well, that's a pretty good, amount of apps installed. Like, these aren't pre-installed. These are physical. They went to the store and installed, and they're current. What's a little scary is that only a quarter of them are used daily. So I use, 20 apps. Well, I use, 10. I use Slack and Gmail. That's it. And Outlook. I got to still use Outlook for work now. And what's even more intriguing about this is what happens if you look at not just the daily usage, but lifetime usage of those apps. Another quarter of those apps are actually never used. They're installed but never booted, or booted once and never used again in a 1 to 2 week span of time. That's scary. These quarter apps that are used daily and are used over and over again are the ones truly standing out. I had a really interesting experience. I happened to be in Costa Rica on holiday. I took one holiday in the last 5 years. It was great. Costa Rica, everyone should go. There's sloths. That's why we went. We just wanted to go see and hold some sloths. We couldn't hold them, so we just looked at them in a sanctuary. It was great. And we were sitting there at a coffee shop, go figure. And my girlfriend was with me, Heather, and we wanted a to-do list of like what we should do in Costa Rica while we were there. And it was the most interesting thing I've ever seen in my life. She sat there and she went to the App Store, and we were on Wi-Fi in Costa Rica, and she's like to-do or task or whatever she typed into that Apple App Store, and she went download, 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 just the first five results. She's like, damn, one of five's got to be good. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I'm just watching and drinking coffee, and I just see her. I see her go through the application. She launches one, does some stuff, uninstalls it, launches the next one, leaves it in a folder. Launches the next one, plays around, uninstalls it, does it for the next two. And within 5 minutes, only one app remained. And I said, whoa, that's interesting. I've never sat down and watched someone use a phone and download apps from the App Store. And I said, well, what was causing you to uninstall these apps? And she said, well, they just weren't great. There's I figured one of five had to be great, and this was the best one. I said, well, what was wrong? And she said, well, some of them were kind of slow and laggy. Right, some of them had ads and had to wait to load. One of them crashed on her. That's no good. That was just an instant uninstall. That's not good. Don't crash. Some of them were unintuitive or kind of had a bad app experience. If you're going to make a to-do list, it should be really simple to do that. The biggest one for her is that the features weren't advertised. One talked about doing synchronization and sharing, and she couldn't find it, and it wasn't in there, and it just seemed like it was a lie. But more importantly, she noticed really quick what apps were going to have the data available at all time, shareable, because we were in Costa Rica and she has Verizon, so it doesn't work there, online and offline. She wanted to make sure that she could share it, we could have it, we could synchronize no matter what. And that was one of the biggest sticking points for her. She said, I want to be able to check it at home. I want you to be able to check it. I want to be on an airplane and be able to add things automatically. So are we always connected? Why does it matter? Maybe we're not always on holiday in Costa Rica. And you're like, James, this seems like an edge case. Well, it's not an edge case, because the biggest part of having our data available all the time is that it's very, very important. If you take a look at, let's say, Africa and maybe Saudi Arabia and India, right? So these are really huge populations, an entire continent, right? You take this continent of Africa, and we can see down here in South Africa, we're looking at the cell phone coverage of 2G, 3G, and 4G on all networks that are available there. And what we're noticing is that there's a lot of blank, you can't really see it, there's just a lot of, you can see it, there's just land, right? Imagine if you're a farmer, imagine if you're living in one of these small remote villages, you have to go into the city to download an application and hope that it works when you get home. What's scarier is if you take a look, just stare at India, And I'm going to uncheck 2G and 3G, leave 4G, because to me, that's the only internet. When I'm on 3G, I'm like, throw this phone away, whatever. Watch. Boom. Like, all of it goes away. Look at poor Africa. I mean, there's no LG 4G coverage there at all. And you can understand why it's so important for Google, and I think even Facebook's getting into trying to make these mesh networks, because they want to have those data available at all times. But right now, it doesn't exist. And you say, well, James, I'm only going to worry about the United States. And I say, okay, fine. That's cool. We got pretty good coverage. These are all the most popular networks that are out there, except for kind of all farm country. Imagine you're building an agriculture application. This is the biggest request in the market right now, is field services and applications being built for farmers. I swear, it's the number one request all the time. Not only in the United States, but all around the world, to get statistics of IoT sensor information coming from the crops, from weather reports, you know, monitoring, taking photos. They literally undock an iPad or an Android tablet, go out all day into the field with no Wi-Fi coverage, no cell coverage, because they're in the middle of these blank areas of the United States. But more importantly is, what happens when, you know, you're up in the air? Americans, just in general, just the U.S. travel, we take 2.1 billion flights a year. That's a lot of flights. That's a lot of people up in the air. And we all know go-go internet doesn't go-go all the time. So most of the time, I don't even buy internet. I just try to work on my phone, and half the time, I fail because we're not creating these great experiences. In fact, here's a little map of voyages, and this is me last year. It's still going. There we go. Boom. That's my travel in 2015, and I'm getting ready to voyage onto a 2016 map. And I like to play it again because it's like, where was James, right? Well, he was all over the place. He was over here, he was in Ohio, he was in Arizona, he was over in the United Kingdom, he was over in Norway, he was over in Hawaii, all over the place, right? All over the place. This is me. I spend 2 weeks out of a year in the sky. That's a lot of time. Last year alone, I took over 100 flights, 120 some odd flights, and of course I love Southwest, big old Southwest fan, Alaska fan too. And what's interesting is that I flew over 122,000 miles, and this year I'll break 150 to 200,000 miles. That's a lot of miles. And I visit all different sorts of airports. And what's interesting about airports is that sometimes you get onto the network, then you're still offline because you got to click that accept button, or you're at a Starbucks and you're online, but you're not offline. The cell phone's not smart enough. But I still want to have all my data available. So I'm all over the place. And these are all the different airports that I visited in 2015. What's intriguing is when I was on that Costa Rica trip is that, yeah, sometimes I have internet, but sometimes I'm on the top of a mountain and it looks beautiful. So I did a study while I was on holiday after kind of looking at what Heather was doing on her phone. And I said, well, what do some of my apps do if I just put this thing in airplane mode or if I'm just, you know, on the top of this mountain? Well, I booted up Southwest, my Seattle Sounders, and I decided, hey, for fun, let me boot up the bus application in Seattle. And this is what I got. The first two applications, I couldn't even use. They just said, sorry, you're offline. Like, I can't check my flight information. I can't look at my upcoming, like, they were there yesterday when I had internet, now they're not? How does that work? Sounders, I can't get access to that? And of course, I wasn't expecting maps or anything, but I thought that'd be fun. At least it didn't close down. I took a look at some other applications, and I thought some may make real sense to have offline data, but some maybe not. First one is Robinhood, beautiful application. It's one of my favorite applications to do kind of day trading. I'm terrible at day trading, so I just like to look at stocks. And what it did is when I put it in airplane mode, it just showed me the cache data. It said, hey, listen, you viewed all this data. I stored all this data. This is the last time that it was updated. If you click on one, here's all the old historical data that's there. And it'll just tell me when the last time it was updated. When I booted the Evolve Conference application, everything worked because it was awesome, because I cached everything locally. If I favorited it a bunch of stuff, as soon as I came back online, it was all synced to the cloud, no matter where I was. That's the experience of a great application when you're offline. So how do we do it? Well, maybe you're building apps three times in a silo approach. Maybe you're using Cordova or React Native and doing kind of a write once, run anywhere. Or maybe you're using Xamarin. Our shared code, our code for each platform, should be able to handle that online-offline data synchronization. Think of it like this. I mean, your backend on every single platform, SQLite is supported. We should be able to store all that information. And as developers, we shouldn't really have to think about it too much. The actual SDK should actually handle it for me. So those are how we're building apps. In the backend, essentially, there's a lot of them out there. Amazon, AWS, Couchbase, Oracle has a mobile cloud, IBM has stuff. There's SQL Cipher and Realm and SQLite. Those are all offline databases, which are really cool. So there's a lot of options. Azure Mobile Apps, which is part of App Service that Scott Guthrie talked about at the keynote, built on top of everything that Azure has to offer. We're at Dev Intersection. We have an Azure intersection, a Dev intersection, and I work at Microsoft, so I'm going to talk specifically about Azure Mobile Apps and show you how to integrate this into your applications. What's important here, again, is that it's any type of application written in any language. I'm just going to do it inside of a Xamarin app. So it works like this. Well, one, Azure's pretty awesome. And by the time I had these slides 2 days ago, it's already out of date because there's 36 Azure compute regions. It's all over the world, more than Google and AWS combined. So when you think about where you want to deploy or where you want to data replicate, Azure's everywhere. We have new data centers in South Korea, Canada, China, India. It's great. Now, why I chose Azure Mobile Apps is because it's very powerful. I have the actual cloud at my back end. The powerful part of Azure is that I'm able to go cloud solution or on-prem. So everything I'm going to show you can run on-prem if you want to, too, which is cool with the Azure stack. It's flexible. We can use easy tables with a Node.js backend or the full app service with an ASP.NET backend tied up to anything. And of course, there's SDKs and APIs available for everything. And they're all open source. The server, the client, they're all open source. So let's jump into it. It works a little bit like this. You have some mobile applications written in a language, Xamarin, iOS, Android, Windows. And your mobile application essentially talks to a beautiful SDK that has a REST API. And you don't actually have to worry about the REST API, because what you're worrying about is just databases. I'm going to insert some data into a database and pull some stuff out of a database. The SDK will communicate with this RESTful API that's sitting in your backend that has a data connection to SQL, to tables, to Mongo, to API apps, whatever you want. It'll handle user authentication. It'll even handle push notifications. Now, the SDK will automatically handle online, offline data synchronization. You don't have to worry about it. You just tell it when you want to sync, and it will sync it for you. It'll even handle data collision automatically, or you can implement your own data collision handler. It's up to you. Now, what's nice here is your backend code lives anywhere. It could be in TFS. It could be in VSTS. It could be in GitHub. It could be an ASP.NET backend. It could be a Node.js backend. It can live anywhere. So you have a mobile SDK and a client SDK that handles this RESTful API and does it all for you. It's super simple. We're going to see this. I'm going to write a bunch of live code because I love live code demos. But it's so simple that I figured that I'd put it in just a few slides. The SDK looks a little bit something like this. I create a mobile service client. The client, and I point it at a URL. That could be a custom URL, but I'm just going to host it in the Azure websites. Now, if I want to create a table, the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a mobile service SQLite client. By default, the Azure Mobile Apps SDK gives us a local SQLite store that we can insert data into and out of. That's also configurable. If you want to use Realm or you want to use SQL Cipher to have a 256-bit encrypted database, you can do that. You just implement an interface, and it'll automatically handle it for you. But if I want a table, check this out, define table. I've done this like 1,000 times, where I have a database, I define a table, here's my schema. Then what I do is I initialize the synchronization context. I say, hey, this thing right here, I need to ensure that I can synchronize data, and I've defined the table, and give me the table back. I'm going to get the sync table. And that's going to tell us that we can do the online-offline data synchronization. It's going to give us all of our CRUD operations, so insert, update, delete. So if I want to push and pull data from the server, it's super simple. That synchronization context will not only give us the actual tables back, but allows us to push all of our data on all the tables automatically. And then I can pull any of the data from the server. So three lines of code to synchronize. And I'm creating this query, and I just create a default query, which will give me back all of the data. But think of it like a big link query, where I can say, hey, synchronize and pull only the data for James. And then it will only care about me. So think of it as like a big OData link query thing, right, that we've been using for years. If I want to insert something, I'm just going to insert it. One line of code, and I insert the to-do item, for instance, into my synchronization table. And then I can just push the changes up. Done. That's how I do it. Five lines of code, online, offline sync. Wow, amazing. If I want to get some items back from the database, well, it's just a table on the database, and you get full link query support, too. So I have my to-do item table. I say where, you know, everything is not completed, and I enumerate it async. That's it. Done. All asynchronous. Inserts, deletes, updates, handles it for me. So let's build an app. Let's do it. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come into Visual Studio, and the application that we're going to build today is called Coffee Cups. I drink a lot of coffee, you may have noticed. I go to a lot of coffee shops, and I needed a way to try to save money. That's what I needed. I built this little application, like a simple app. I was like, oh, just a few days. And I'm on the road all the time. I'm maybe at home on my Surface Book here. I want to get one of those new, what are the Surface, whatever they announced today, I want that. That doesn't travel well, but I have my Surface Book, and I want to maybe be at home, and I want to track my coffee consumption. I want to know, am I drinking this coffee at home? Did I make it at home, or did I go out to a fancy coffee shop and spend money? And then I could put that into like App Insights, and I could iterate and do some Power BI on it. That's what I thought would be really cool. So I built this application called Coffee Cups. It's a very super simple Xamarin Forms application. And again, it doesn't matter what type of application. Maybe you're building a UWP-only application, only iOS, only Android. It doesn't matter. Inside of here. This is just a Xamarin Forms application. So inside of here, I have a thing called a model. So it's going to be my cup of coffee. Here it is. And I'm going to make this a little bit smaller. There we go. Make this a little bit smaller. And get rid of that. So here I have a cup of coffee. And we can see I have an ID. I have this thing called an Azure version. So that way it has version control. I have this a user ID that we'll do in a little bit. And all I'm going to save here is the date that I consumed that coffee, if I was at home or not, and what operating system I was on. That's all I'm going to do there. Now, that's my cup of coffee. And you might be wondering, what is this Microsoft Windows Azure Mobile Services? Well, what I did here is when I right-click and say Manage NuGet Packages, and I go to Installed, what I installed from NuGet is version 3.03, which is the current version of Azure Mobile Apps. There's two NuGet packages. The first one up top is for online-only support. So this is going to give me my context of my being able to pull and push data from the server, but I'm not storing anything local. So I'm only able to pull and push data, but I'm not storing it anywhere. The client SQLite store builds on top of that with an optional SQLite store, which you always kind of want. That's going to do the online-offline sync. So that's what I've installed, and it installed a bunch of prerequisites like the SQLite raw PCL, and installed a few other things like this settings plugin and connectivity plugin. And I installed these into all of my applications. And that's where that's going to come from. And those are where the APIs live. So what I want to do here is I want to implement some sort of Azure service. And what essentially I'm going to do here is I have a little bit of code in the code behind this, the coffee's view model. And I have a bunch of coffee. So I'm going to drop this down here. So I have an observable collection of coffees and grouping. And here, whenever I load my coffee, I want to call into an Azure service. I haven't implemented it yet. I want to say, give me my coffees. Then I'm going to update it in the user interface. I have another method here to call sort. So I just use link to sort everything by the date, and I group it by the title. Then I have an add coffee here that's, again, going to call that Azure service. So I'm not actually putting the Azure code in my view model, but I'm going to put it in this Azure service that we can go implement. And then I have the view. So the view is super simple. I'm going to go into this coffee page. And all I do here is I have a label that just says made at home. I have a toggle switch to say if I'm at home or not, and a button to say add coffee. And at the bottom, I just have a list view. And that list view essentially is going to just bind to my coffees that are all grouped together. So super simple app, but the UI doesn't really matter. The important part is how I'm handling this data. So let's go into our backend code here. I'm going to pin this here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come into my services, and I have an Azure service. And what we're going to see up top is I have a bunch of using statements. So I'm using, inside of here, Azure Mobile Services, the sync store. I'm using all my coffee cup API, my plugin connectivity. And then I set up just a few variables here. So I have that mobile service client, and I have my sync table. The rest of it's basically all blank. And what I need to do is I need to put in a URL, but this whole thing is blank. So I created four methods that we need to fill in. That one will come to later. I have initialize to initialize and set up our sync context. There's a single store. A way to sync our coffee, a way to get coffees, and a way to add a coffee. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to set up our Azure backend. So let's do that. So I'm going to come into my Azure portal, portal.azure.com, and I'm going to say new. And inside here, this is going to give me access as soon as the internet decides to work. There we go. The Azure portal, not online, offline capable. But under web and mobile, that's where I'm going to find some stuff. And Scott kind of showed off some of this in the keynote. We have mobile app, there's web app, there's CDNs, media services. And I'm going to do this thing that's in preview. If I type in mobile app up here, maybe you forget, just type in mobile app. It's terrible naming, but think of it as my Azure mobile app backend. That's really what it is. And inside of here, we have the web, the mobile app, and then this mobile app quick start. And I like the mobile app quick start because it gives me the power of everything in my mobile app, but it's pre-configured with a full backend and a SQL Lite database. So I'm going to hit create. And I need to fill in a few properties. Let's do it. Boom. And this will be called I love coffee. Is that available? Yep. I'm going to create a new resource group. I'm going to call it the I love coffee group. And you put it in an app service plan. So whatever that plan is, that sounds good. I'm going to pin it to the dashboard. I'm going to say create. I'm going to validate. Up, 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 up. And I pinned it there, and we can see it's deploying our mobile app quick start. That takes 3 minutes. We'll come back to it. Cool. So now I can plug in this API, right? I can say, I love coffee. Boom. There's my back end. Awesome. Now, I haven't set up my back end yet, so it's not going to know what to do until we do that, and we'll do it. So what I'll do is I need to set up my client. So client equals new mobile service client, and I need to give it a URL. And this is where I'm going to pass in a few things here. So here I have a mobile app URL, so I'll say URL. Oops, what did I call it? App URL, go figure, app URL. There we go. And then this thing called HTTP message handlers. So that will give you a way to override your HTTP calls. So if you want to do some merge conflict resolution, or you need to do an identity or something like that, you can pass it in. You can pass in a URI or a string. But by default, I'm just going to say use the default stuff that's in there. All right. So now what I need to do is I need to set up our local SQLite store inside of here. So I'll just say, like, here's a var path equals SQL store 123.db. You can name it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. So our SQLite store here, again, is in this a client. So I'm going to say var store equals new, there's like a store in here, SQLite store. And inside of here, it needs a file name, so let's give it the path. Now, what this path is going to do, what's important, is that it's going to put it in the correct directory on iOS, Android, and Windows by default, which is an internal storage. So it's not external, so no one can like go and grab it. It's inside of your app bundle. You can override this and point it somewhere else if you need to. But here, I'm just going to go ahead and do it here. Now, on that store, I can say store.define table. And then I can say, hey, let's create that cup of coffee. There we go. I'm going to initialize my sync context like we did in the sample. So I'm going to say client.syncContext.initializeAsync. I'm going to give it the store. So that's what's important here is I need to initialize the synchronization context and point it at a database. So inside of here, I'm going to say store. And then here's where I actually have, sorry, this is where I put the synchronization handlers. So whenever I need to override what's going on, I'm going to use the default. And then I need to get our table. So there's a table that I had, which is our coffee table. And I'm going to say, It's client.getSyncTable, and it's going to be cup of coffee. So just like a little bit of boilerplate code. Now, what I want to do here is I want to only ever initialize this code once. That's very important. I don't want to override it every single time. So I'm going to call this initialize every single time before I do anything. So what I want to do is I want to say if client is not null and the sync context is not null and there's an isInitialized. If any of that's null, return false and then return. So I'm checking if the client's null, you're good. It's false, so you can go. If the sync context null or if it's initialized. So we're doing that there. Lots of null coalescing, which is cool. So now I just need to write a few lines of code to sync the data. So here the first thing we'll do is we'll say await initialize, just make sure it's good. Now I only ever want to actually pull the most local, the only time I ever want to pull data is when I'm online. So I installed the connectivity plugin to say if I'm online or not. So the first thing I'm going to do is say if if I'm not connected, return. Don't try to synchronize anything. Don't even bother because you're offline right now. So now what I can do is I can say, hey, await coffee table dot pull async. I'm going to give it a query ID, so we'll say all coffee. And that is being passed back to your server, so you can intercept that and do certain things based on the query ID. And I'll say coffee table dot create query. There we go. Then I'm going to go ahead and push any data. I'm going to say client.syncContext.pushAsync. So think of it like when I'm doing inserts or CRUD operations or I want to get data for a table, then I say table.pull, table.insert. Whenever I want to synchronize everything in my current client, I say SyncContext, and that handles everything. So this allows you to selectively pull data down from the server. If you have, imagine 10 or 20 different tables. Cool, that's my code to sync. Now what I want to do is get coffee. So here what I'm going to do is initialize. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say await sync coffee. And I'm going to go ahead and now get my coffee from the table. So I'll say coffee table dot order by. Let's order by. And I can say, you know, coffee dot date UTC dot to enumerable async. Done. I'm just using link there. Oh, and I need to do await, obviously. It's all asynchronous. And what's cool is that this link query is translated into a SQL command. Right? So I'm passing it down into SQL, so it's just querying it there. All right, last one. Then we can go back to Azure and deploy our backend. So here I want to add a coffee. Again, I'm going to go, hey, let me create a coffee. So this is the data I want to put into my database. So here what I want to do is create the coffee. So I'll say new cup of coffee. Boom. And let's go ahead and just do that there. And I'm going to say date UTC is date time dot now UTC. And then made it home. I pass that in, so if I'm at home. And then the Azure version, the ID, and the user ID I don't do anything with, but the OS I can set. And Xamarin Forms has a little enum that I can grab. So I'll say device.os.toString. There we go. There we go. Cool. Now, at this point, insert coffee locally, is I have this data. And I could be offline, but I always want to insert it locally first because maybe I'm out in the field and I want to insert that into the database. So I'm going to say coffee table.insert async. And I just pass it the coffee. Boom. I have insert async. We want to await on this. Again, it's all asynchronous. But inside this coffee table, let me zoom in. Coffee table. I have all those CRUD operations. Lookup async, insert async. I can ask for an included count. I can order by. I can pull. I can purge. I can read. I can refresh. I can skip. I can take. I can do all this link awesome stuff all right on there. I can update these items. So there I need to do CRUD operations or just gather things. Then I want to try to sync. Now, so I'm going to await on the sync coffee. Now, if I'm offline, at this instance, this isn't going to do anything. It's still going to be in my local database, but it's not going to do anything. Because up top here, remember, I checked to say, am I online? So it won't even insert it. It'll insert it locally, but not try to push or pull it. And the last thing I'm going to do is return that coffee so I can display it in the user interface. Boom. That's my code. With all the usings, all the comments, all everything inside of here, under 100 lines of code to do all that. Let's go set up our backend, because our code in our app is done. So let's do that. Now, I didn't touch anything in the portal, so when it was done, it actually launched the quick start page here. And you can get there, as long as you pinned it. Here's the I Love Coffee app. I click on it, and there's my mobile quick start. Now, if you don't do the quick start, you're not going to see this. So what you're going to see is the actual mobile app here. And don't be worried. Don't be scared. They've just kind of made a pretty user interface for it. So inside of here is like all my actual app service stuff that's in here. So authentication, backups, networking, scaling up, scaling down, security, everything that you could do in app service that's inside of here. Clone app, I mean, it's crazy. There's like 1,000 things. What they did is the quick start said, hey, listen, you probably may have some authentication, some tables, et cetera. So by default, it gives me a Node.js backend. And it gives me things called easy tables. And an easy table is running in a SQLite right here with an Azure Data Connect. But there's no Azure Data connection. So I actually want to point this at a real database. And I think that's important, because we want to use a real ASP.NET backend. How many people are ASP.NET developers or have done any of that? Node.js developers? Yeah, didn't think so. I'm not. You can be. That's awesome. A lot of my friends are web devs. If you want to, check this out. Edit site code. It's going to log into Microsoft Online. There was a few Node.js. Don't be scared. I love Node.js. I don't love Node.js. That's a lie. I'm a C# developer. But here it is. Check this out. Here's an app.js. And there we go. There's like all this stuff. Here's my table code. It's all there, right? So if you want to, what's great, this is why I love it. Maybe you're working with people that are all C# all day. Maybe people are Node.js all day. It doesn't matter. Let's do whatever you want to do. You can deploy this on Azure, deploy it wherever you want to go. But I'm a C# developer. I'm not really an ASP.NET developer, but I love our tooling. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to enable a real database connection. Now, in this instance, I could go ahead and create a new SQL database. I could point it at storage, so like do storage on here. But I'm going to go ahead and point it at an existing database. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go ahead and go and point to my coffee DB that I set up already. I'm going to go into my connection string, and I'm going to type in my username and password. There we go. It's going to validate and hit OK. Now, the reason I'm not spinning up a new SQL server and things like that, because it takes a little bit of time, so I'm just going to point it at an existing one. And that's going to connect my backend code to my actual Azure SQL database there. So if I go ahead and there we go. It's connected, it's refreshed, and it's good. And now I can no longer use easy tables. So it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. It still has that stuff, but we're going to get rid of it. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into this mobile application. And we need to download our ASP.NET backend. So I'm going to go into this quick start, which seems weird because there is a quick start, but it's quick start code for mobile development. And what we can see inside of here is it says, hey, how are you developing your mobile application? Because maybe you don't already have an app like I had where I could just write the backend code. Maybe you just want to download a default template and do to-do items. So there's Xamarin Forms, there's iOS, Android, Cordova, all this stuff already. So I'm going to type on Xamarin Forms. And it's going to ask me, hey, you already have a data connection set up. You already have a table set up. Would you like to use Node.js or C#? I'm going to use C#. And I'm going to go ahead and hit download. And I'm going to run this on my desktop. Boom. All right. Let's go ahead and boot this puppy up. So I'm going to go into my folder. I'm going to extract this. And essentially, think of this like kind of writing your ASP.NET backend right alongside your mobile application. I'm going to go ahead and load up the I Love Coffee here. We'll accept. That should be good. Preparing solution. And the first thing I'm going to do, just like any ASP.NET backend, I'm going to restore the NuGet packages, and that's going to take a little bit of time. There's 1,000 things. But what just happened? We can see clearly that it's an ASP.NET website. There's some assemblies in here. There's app start, there's controllers, there's data objects, there's models, there's my web config. The ASP.NET website. The difference here is that if I go into the manage NuGet packages, we can see that it's installed AutoMapper, Entity Framework, right? So we're code first here. Owen, it's installed, most important, the Azure Mobile Server components, giving me access to notifications, Entity Framework, tables, and it gives me access to this quick start and the server components that are there. So everything is distributed from NuGet. So maybe you're saying, James, I already have an ASP.NET website. Well, you can scaffold out your mobile API right on top of it. You just add these NuGet packages, add a little bit of config code. So here's what we want to do. If I go in here, we have a to-do item controller. And this gives you kind of the boilerplate code. So there's a table controller here. Let me build it, make sure that all these nuggets came in. And we have entity domain manager, and it can query. There's get all items, get to-do item, patch to-do, and there's a RESTful endpoint here, which is pretty cool. So what I want to do here is I'm going to create a new object. And our default object here inherits from entity data, so we want to bring that in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to duplicate my actual cup of coffee. So I'm going to go in here. It's going to initialize some templates. And general code C#. I'm going to say cup of coffee. Now, normally what I would do inside of here is I would create a shared project, and I would share that between my mobile application and my backend. But for demo sakes, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and copy a little bit of this code. And all I actually need for right now is, bless you, is this stuff here. The entity data will automatically have the ID. So if I go into this entity data and peek in there, it's going to have indexes created at ID. It's going to have an updated app and a version for me automatically, which is a byte array. And then here, I'm just going to have this user ID, a date UTC, made at home. So I'm just, that's my model. So now what I can do is I can say, hey, I want to add a new scaffolded item. I need to add a new controller that I can ping. So here, when I have the Azure SDK installed, this will realize that, hey, you're inside of an Azure mobile. It's not an MVC app, and I want to create a controller, but for a mobile app. So you can put your controllers on top of each other. Often there's a full API, right, inside of your ASP.NET application. And then your mobile app only needs a subset of that data, so you may just like limit it a little bit. So we're going to create a custom controller here. A table controller, sorry. You can also create an API controller if you want to, too, and call it. And here we're just going to say, hey, where's my model class? I'm going to use cup of coffee. The context here is the I love coffee context, and we're going to call it cup of coffee controller add. It's going to scaffold everything out for me automatically, and there we go. Done. Right inside of here now, I have my table controller with a cup of coffee. I have my context. I can query. I could add additional things inside of here. But now my backend is done. I just need to publish it. So I'm going to go ahead and right-click and say publish. And I'm inside of App Service. And I've installed this into I Love Coffee group, I Love Coffee. You can imagine you might have deployment slots, things like that. But we're just going to go ahead and deploy it right into the I Love Coffee. And there we go. There's all my settings. There's my settings, release, web deploy, publish. So now we're just kind of deploying, right? You've maybe done this before. If you've done ASP.NET, you're like, boom, deploying this out. It's going to upload everything and do all of our changes. It's going to launch our browser. And our mobile app is ready. Boom. It's happy. It's a happy thing. Because I don't have any APIs on top of this. I don't have anything going on there. Now, what I can do, though, is I can open up Postman. Here's Postman. And what I can do now, after it fastens my seatbelts, is I can come in here. And I can do a few queries, right? So I've pre-done some of these. So I can say get coffee. And we can see right here, I named it the same. So I have ilovecoffee.azurewebsites. And there's tables, cup of coffee. And the only thing I do is I put this little Zumo token on there so it knows that it's coming from a mobile app, but we can fake it out. So I can say, hey, let me get those. And it should give us ideally nothing back. Boom, nothing, it's blank. I can insert some coffee inside of here if I wanted to. So here, for instance, I have a body that's inside of here. And all I'm doing here is I'm saying post, right? I'm saying post. And I'm going to pass it some JSON. So here, this is nice. I'd like to point this out because I can store data from anywhere, right? It's just going into my database. It doesn't matter if it's coming from a mobile app or coming from my website or some IoT device, an IoT of it, funneled in here. So I'm gonna say, hey, this came from Postman. It wasn't made at home. And today's date is what, the 25th, 26th? I don't know what day it is. The user ID is null. So now what I can do is I can just send this. Boom, send it up. Down here, it's filled in the rest of the properties for us and we're good to go. I come back into Get Coffee, I send it out. Boom, it just hit our database. It's in there. I can prove it's in the database. Check this out. I can go into our view, Cloud Explorer. It's gonna go talk to my Azure resource groups. It's inside of here somewhere. There's the I Love Coffee group. That's there. Well, I can't deploy to it, obviously. So what we wanna do is go into our Server Explorer. There we go. And under Azure, we're gonna come into our SQL databases. There we go. We have app services, we have all this stuff that's all there. So we saw that it's live. I could do remote debug session. So here it is, there's my Mott's Coffee DB. I'm gonna say open in the Server Object Explorer. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Let me go ahead and remove it. Open. There we go. What we want to do come here is we want to authenticate this IP address. So I had it already cached, so it already thought that the IP was there. So I just need to enter my password, and I want to authenticate this machine. And I say add this IP address. And then we're going to see it up in the actual SQL Explorer. There we go. There's my database. Here's my tables. I'm going to drop down the tables. It's going off. It's talking in Azure, right? It's just over there somewhere. There's my cup of coffees there. This is like a different one. This is the one that I want. And I'm going to say view data. A bunch of different things in here. Now this is going to go off, and there it is. Boom. There's my actual data from Postman there. Real code, really deployed right here in just a few minutes. Let's put it into our mobile apps, right? Because our mobile apps are done. They were just waiting. They were sitting here. The Azure service is waiting to get this data. There's nothing else I need to do. When this app starts up, it's just going to create a coffee page, which was the XAML, and it's going to load the data. When it starts up, what I'm going to do here is I have some pulled to refresh stuff in here. But what I do is when the page appears inside of here, I say, hey, if I'm logged in, if I have login enabled, then you know try to log in. Else, what I do is say, hey, load those coffees. That's it. My app's ready to go. So I'm going to deploy this here on Android first. Because remember, all my code I already wrote already. And let's add some breakpoints. Let's just go ahead and come into my view model. And inside of here, we want to add some breakpoints, coffee. And we'll sort the coffees and come into this finally. And it's building up. So we can see how many coffees we have ahead of time or afterwards and things like that. All right. Give it a second to deploy and start debugging. Boom. And we can see here there's no coffees that are there. If I actually go into this coffee service and I go to implementation, what we can see is that we're going to do all this stuff here, essentially initialize, synchronize, and it's super boring because you're just getting some stuff from the table. So here I'm going to continue. Here it's going to define the table, initialize. We probably don't need that breakpoint. Continue on. It's going to load some coffees. There's my beautiful user interface. I'm all done. Is busy's done. Come to my coffees. I have a coffee automatically from Postman right there, like immediately. I didn't have to worry about anything. I just said, hey, give me all the data. And then there it is. There's the datetime UTC from the 25th or whatever day I put in there. I can go back now and zoom out, remove some more breakpoints. Boom. There's Postman right there. If I want to come in and say, hey, now I'm at home and I made this coffee, it's going to go add that coffee. It's a new day inside of here. And we'll just say, well, how many did I drink today? I drank 3. There we go. And now if I come back into my back end and just hit this refresh code, it's going to get upset and go talk to my real Azure instance. That's how you know it's working, when it's not responding. Boom, there it is. These are made at home from Android, automatically. Done, right? I can pull the refresh and do that. If I come back into Postman and get my get coffees, there they all are, just a RESTful endpoint available to me. I can come now into my mobile application. And what I can do is I can boot up a Windows 10 application or an iOS application. I can run this here locally on the machine. Right? I didn't add any additional lines of code to iOS or Windows. All the code just works. So when I boot up this application, we can run these apps side by side, which I think is kind of fun of seeing it. So here's my coffee cups app. Boom. And there it is. It's going to load the coffees. Boom, there's all my coffees. If I come over here and add the coffee, pull to refresh the coffee, boom. It literally just made a round trip into Azure in some region that I don't even care where it's at, right? It's somewhere. It doesn't matter. If I come and add a coffee here, I hit the secret refresh button over here, boom, there it is from Android. I come into Postman, it's there. Awesome. It's all there. It all totally works. Now, this is what I really like. Our Android emulator, I can come in. This is a very risky demo because this may mess up my entire machine, but I don't care. There's a network tab. And what I can do is I can tell my Android emulator to go offline. So I'm going to switch it to cellular, and then I'm going to say no network. And if things are correctly working over here, it's going to say no connection, offline mode. And you can see it's all upset over here that it's in offline. So let's go ahead and close it and relaunch it, because I probably should have done that. Oh, it's very, see, everything is very upset at me. There we go. So I'm going to go into my Coffee Cups app. I'm offline. Now, my Windows machine is still online, right? So I'm still here. I can add some more coffee. I can come over here, and I can say, add coffee over here. I can try to pull the refresh. I don't get Windows, right? I don't get that over here. It's here. It's not here, because this one's offline. I can see from my Azure backend, if I go ahead and tap on that, boom, I have Android, 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 Windows, Android, Windows. No more Android, not a second Android one in there, right? So there's Windows, Android, Android. So what's cool is that now, as soon as I go back online, boop, it's toggled. I'm going to hit refresh on here. When I hit refresh, that's going to come back into my coffee cups, into my Azure service. And when I hit refresh, it's going to call sync coffee. Boom, there's Windows right there. Come back over here, refresh, there's Android. Boom. I didn't write any code. I just said, hey, I'm offline, don't sync it. When I'm online, sync it. If I was writing production code, I'd probably have like a background service that would do this automatically on different occasions, right? That's real world. You can take a look at that in my Xamarin Evolve conference application. It's all open source, which is awesome. We did a whole blog post on it. Just go to blog.xamarin and search for Evolve. You'll find it on there. But that's what I'm talking about. These apps didn't lock up the UI. All my data is available. I can add coffee on anything, and it synchronizes automatically. I can build a whole website around this, right? I can put it all there. But now you're saying, James, but what if I wanted to do more? This application has no authentication. What if you wanted to maybe, I don't know, give the application to Jesse Liberty, because he loves coffee too? Well, we need to add some authentication, so let's do it, right? So let's add that in there. Do I have any slides for this? I do. Boring. Let's do it. Okay, cool. So here's what I want. I don't know. So here's what I want to do. I want to come back over here and see this authentication tab. Here's the authentication tab. Now, what I can do here is I can say, hey, this app service has no authentication on it. So let's turn it on. And we're going to see some different settings on it. There's two distinctions here. The first one is, what should happen when a request comes into my backend and I'm unauthenticated? Should I try to log in, or should I just let anyone go to it? So I'm going to turn this off, because the back end, I want my website to still be available. If I turn this on right now and I say, hey, log in with Google, then I actually have to log in with Google. Now, for our mobile applications, we have access here to Facebook, Google, Twitter, Microsoft, Azure AD. You can type in and do Azure B2C, which is business to consumer, which is an awesome service that combines Active Directory and Social Auth. But here, let's go ahead and configure Twitter. Let's do that here. And it says, hey, you need to configure Twitter, so do that. So I'm going to go ahead and run over here to our docs. The docs are pretty good. It says, hey, you need to log into Azure. You need to go over to the Twitter developer. Here, I'm logged in just to my James account. I'm going to create a new app. I'm going to create a name. It's going to be called I Love Coffee. And you can see I do love a lot of coffee. Dev, enter. Description, coffee is great. Drink more. My website, shameless plug, Mott's Codes. Callback URL. It tells you here, it says, hey, fill in all that stuff and then copy and paste this callback URL. But instead of using Contoso, use your actual app ID. So it's going to be I Love Coffee. Done. I agree to whatever Twitter tells me, and I create my Twitter app. Boom. All right. Now, what's important here is that it gives me some consumer keys, it gives me my callback, it gives me all my OAuth backends, and then I can do different settings. So if I want to modify those settings I just did, or add a privacy policy or app icon, I can. Most importantly is that if you already have a Twitter app, make sure that this thing is checked. It's on by default, but it's allow this application to be used for sign-on. So that's actually how you can prop an ID up. So I'm going to go into my keys and access tokens. And here, I'm going to go ahead and, there it is, consumer key and client secret key. And I'm going to go back into my Azure portal and post them there. This is super important. None of my keys are saved in my mobile application in plain text. Everything is based on the server, and that's for security. Your server controls that. So I'm going to go ahead and save it. And the last thing I'm going to do is save the authentication. So now my auth settings are essentially good to go. All right? They're good to go in there. And it's saved. So now, if I try to do anything, if I come over to Postman, it's actually still going to let me to do it because I still have to do something else. We need to actually, we have authentication turned on, but we need to tell our backend what to authenticate. So I need to go back into my controller. Inside of here. And you can come in on a method by method or controller basis and turn on authentication inside of here. So what we want to do is we want to turn on authentication. So we want to say authorize. Boom. I've turned on authentication. Now, this authentication bit, essentially, what's important about it is that it needs to know it needs to know what to do at this point. So this is our coffee table. We have a query here. So what we need to do is we need to be able to get some information from our server. So every single time I log in with Twitter, I'm going to be assigned a unique SID. It's a SID from Azure. So for me as a developer, an SID, think of it as a unique identifier, like a GUID. So if I log in on Twitter on one device and I log in on another device, that ID is going to be the same. If I log in with a different account, it'll be different. That's what's important. So what I need to do is I need to say, oh, the query here, right? I should only be able to get my own coffees back. So I can say if I need to say var SID and it's a string.empty. But what I need to do here is I need to say, hey, if var query. So I can say where, and then I can say where my coffee dot user ID equals the SID. So only return those. So there's my where. I can get maybe all the coffee, and I can add these additional certifications in here. But I can also say, hey, whenever I post that coffee, let me go ahead and get that ID again. So I need to get this ID. So let's create a method up here that's called string get SID, and we probably need to pass it some stuff, and it'll return string.empty. So we need to pass that in at some point. But let's go ahead and just change this here so it's easy. We can update it in one place. There we go. We need to get this SID. So whenever I insert anything, I need to get that SID, and then on my item.userID, I'll just insert it, okay? And then it'll go down that path. So that's a nice way of server-side controlling. Say, listen, I'm logged in. That information is going to be passed with my web request, and I need to get it. So I need to figure out how to get this SID. And that is actually documented somewhere on the Azure website. But I'm going to go ahead and look at the app coffee cups here. And I'm pretty sure that I added my, didn't add my back end. Great. So this is the source code. I said I was going to insert the stuff in there. All right. Please hold. Azure SID mobile apps. Well, boom. Understanding user IDs. So it's going to tell me, hey, you probably need to copy a bunch of code. There it is. So I need to pass in the I principle. Boom. That's where it comes from. Bum, bum, bum. There we go. And then I need to go ahead and bring in my claims. Say quick actions, using it, claims provider, that looks good. There we go, cool. So essentially it's just gonna, based on Twitter or whatever, it's gonna append Twitter SID. So if it's Twitter, if it's Google, it's whatever. So now this is gonna return it for me. I just need to pass in my user, that's it. There we go. So a little bit of code on the back end, but this is all kind of highly reusable code. And this is nice because on a per controller basis, you can enable and disable authentication. So let's go ahead and publish this one more time. There we go. We're going to go and publish it. All right, all right. And now it's up again. And now what's interesting is if I come to Postman and I say, let me get all my coffee cups, and I hit send. Authorization has been denied for this request because I'm not authorized to make it. I added that flag, so I can't get all the coffee. That's sad. So now our mobile applications just need a little bit of authentication code. So let's go back into our mobile apps. So our mobile apps, I wrote this code all ahead of time, but it's very simple. Essentially, my Azure service has a login command. And what I want to do in here is I created an interface called iAuthentication. And that way, I need to log in. Because iOS, Android, and Windows, they do authenticate a little bit differently on each platform. And you need to pop up a window. So what I did is I implemented this interface on each platform. And I'll show you that code. But what I do here is I just say login async. And I pass it to client. And here, I'm going to pass it Twitter. And that's it. That'll come back and it'll return to me a user, a mobile service user. I'm going to say if the user's null, then cancel out my auth tokens and display a little message, else save my auth tokens and I'm done. That's it. Now, in my source code, I'm going to go ahead and initialize. I'm going to say that I would like to use auth. I have a little define. Say I would like to use auth. And we're going to set this use auth to true. And then down here, what we can see is I'm essentially initializing the mobile service client, but I'm passing it in this authentication handler. And that's going to actually append all the Twitter credentials for every web request that I make. And if it's the first time loading up and I have a user already logged in, assign it to the current user. That's it. Boom. So now what's going to happen is when my app loads up here, instead of calling this code, because I'm not logged in, it's going to say, hey, login async, and call that login method. And that login method is going to look like this. I'm going to log in async, and based on the platform, iOS, Android, or Windows, it's just going to call the login async command. So it's literally one line of code, but I need to pass it like different credentials based on iOS, Android, or Windows. And that's it. That's my authentication code. So if I'm authenticated, load my coffees. If I'm not, log in async, and then load all my coffees. So it's a nice async await here. Now I created a little test account. I think it's Twitter/Xamarin Azure. There's me. I have people following me for some reason. That's cool. I'm not sure if the password's still going to work because this is being recorded on channel 9 and I've done this demo before, but we're going to try to log in. So let's go over here and let's go ahead and run this on Android. Set a startup. And what I want to do here is actually before I do it, in my back end here, I'm going to change my database so we get a fresh database. Just clear it out. There. So that way all this stuff's gone. That's the quick and dirty way of saying, yeah, all your data's fresh again. Just change the string. Now it's going to be a different local database. All right. So the first thing that we're going to see here is that we have our login. I love coffee dev intersection. I can log in, so Xamarin Azure. I'm going to type in my super secret password. If anyone can see it from there. I'm going to hit sign in. It's going to redirect me back to Azure, and it's going to try to load all my coffees. And what has happened is busy's false. We can get rid of that. And what we're going to see is that there's no coffees. Coffee's gone. Well, that's because I'm logged in and all the other stuff was unauthenticated, so I don't want that coffee. Well, let's add a new coffee. There. Boom, there's Android. I can load it up again. Now what's really cool is that I can come into this I Love Coffee backend and refresh this table again. Whoa, what's that? All right, we're going to load this data again. Oh, is it? No, that's it. Exception has been thrown. Let's refresh the databases. Maybe it kicked me off. I assume what happened here is that when I toggled the visuals, the Android stuff, it probably got all mad at me. Expected. Let's go ahead and try to open. There we go. It most likely changed the IP address of my machine, which is kind of funny. It's very upset at me. No, it's the same database. I just added authentication. It may be upset at me, and I'm not sure why. That's interesting. Let me just close it and reopen it. We'll just see if that works. It's a different database for the mobile application, not for the backend. Remember, the backend is configured in Azure, so I can point that at any database I want. I was just changing it so we had fresh data, so I didn't have to uninstall the app and reinstall it. Yeah. So here we go. Now it's going. It was just upsetting me for a second. So here's my tables, and what I wanted to show, which is kind of cool, is that my tables here, when I go in and I say coffee cups, I say view data. It's going to load. It's going to get upset for a second because it's data. Now here we go. We can see the actual data that's in here, right? So here's the actual Twitter ID that's in there. Now notice, if I come here and I copy this, and I go here, but I change this thing to, like, I don't know, that. And I change this to, I don't know. Google, right? That's my Google ID. And I go ahead and refresh this, right? So that's a Google ID. If I come here for Android, it's still going to give me my 2. But if I say, hey, you know what? Let me just paste that in there. Maybe don't modify the database directly, but you can. And then now, like, that Windows one was associated with it, so it's there. It's kind of cool. I can come back over here into my coffee application, and I can go into iOS, and let's just give this a whirl, because why not? We'll deploy it and see what happens. We'll log in with that user inside of here. I'll go ahead and launch this. I like to boot it up on all. There we go. We'll see if our iOS is going to be happy with us. I'm on a wired connection, so hopefully. It's going to compile. Everyone loves compile time. Building. No output. I like that. That's my favorite part. Things are happening. Let's see what's going on. Okay, build successful. Things are happening. We're in debug window, connecting server. Boom. And ideally, if things are working gracefully, this should just open. Else I'll close it and reopen it, because that always seems to work. Let's try that. Oh, and then it worked when I stopped, but that's cool. That's cool. There's our coffee cups. Oh, I probably just got, oh, there it goes. So now we are authenticating, right? But we're getting the iOS actual authentication screen. So I can come in here and I can say Xamarin Azure, type in my password, hit sign in. Boom, there we go. Android, Windows, add coffee. I can come back over here, pull the refresh. I'm logged in with the same exact user. It knows automatically. I don't have to do anything special. And there's our application synchronizing between all of them. If I come over into Windows, for instance, and I boot that puppy up, what's nice here is let's log in with, like, a different account. So we're going to close it and relaunch it. There it is. Nope. I don't know. Let's go ahead and uninstall it. That should have prompted me for login. Oh, let me change it to any CPU. Perfect. There we go. Now it's going to go and redeploy, right? So we have now our Twitter authentication. Now, the nice thing is I only had to write the Twitter authentication once. I have the Azure integration, I have the Twitter integration. That's all there. I'm going to connect to my service. I'm going to use my own personal account, James Montemagno. And this is nice because it actually hides. It's the only one that hides it fully. I'm going to go ahead and say sign in. I'm going to say skip. And then boom, we don't have any. If I hit add coffee over here, it's Windows. Come over here, pull the refresh. No Windows. Over here, refresh, add one, because I'm logged in with different users. And it knows, because in the back end, when I refresh this table yet again, I can zoom in, and we're going to see that we're going to have different SSIDs for all of our users. There's a Google one, here's my James Montemagno one, and here's all the other ones that I've logged in with that test account. Pretty simple. The back end code, 20, 30 lines of ASP.NET code. You can get real complex with it. You can write custom queries. You can write custom table APIs. What's nice here is that once you're logged in with the accounts here, your backend can then go talk to Google and Twitter and get user profile information. And you can hit an API table that's been, an API controller that's been set up for you that's called Me. So when you hit Me, it'll automatically grab all the Twitter stuff that you want and all the Google stuff that you want. So if you want to display like a username and you want to display an email or you want to display a profile picture, you can get all that. It's all there, which is pretty cool. Boom. What I think is awesome is that I've done all this in an hour, and that's pretty cool, and almost all of it's from scratch, which is pretty crazy. So authentication, you can roll your own. You can use your own OAuth if you want to. You don't have to use a social. Maybe you're on-prem. You have your own OAuth service. That's cool. You can just pass the login method your credentials, and it'll handle it automatically. Anything OAuth, it doesn't matter. It also handles push notifications. It's a little bit longer of a process. But essentially, when you do push notifications, you have like a platform notification service. Apple has one, Google has one, Microsoft has one. And it kind of sends, and this is the normal workflow of push notifications. You store this handle, you register a device, you request a notification, you send that notification to device, it sends and it manages this device thing. And what's really tricky is that you have to handle like all this shenanigans, the send to device, send to PNS, the push notification service, the request notification, the managed device. You have to do all that. And you have to store all this stuff. But what happens is when you're using Azure and mobile apps, Azure Notification Hubs comes in and sits as the middleman. Super awesome. So what happens is that your application, you'll get this push notification handle. You'll send it to your backend, which is your actual ASP.NET backend. And instead of storing it in your own database and managing all those device IDs, you store it in notification hubs. And it handles the user tags and anything for push notifications. It talks directly to the notification service to make sure that the devices are updated back and forth. And then you can use notification hub to send a push notification to all of them at once. So you don't have to write the code three times. It's super cool. There we go. Now, I showed simple table data, CRUD operations, which is probably what most applications are going to do. But what if you want to store blobs of data, like images or videos? Well, with the Azure Mobile App SDK and Azure Storage, you can just do that. You can say, store blob async, get blob async, and it'll do online, offline data synchronization. So if you're creating like an application like this, we did this little monkey application that you could take a photo of a monkey, and then it would upload and it would synchronize between devices. So it's more than just simple data. It's all your data. All online, all offline. Now, what's nice here is when we talk about an ASP.NET backend, and if you're writing apps with Xamarin or just in C#, you have your shared C# mobile apps, your C# server with ASP.NET that's running on Azure or Linux or Mono on the core CLR somewhere, but you can create this shared C# client backend. And that can be all of your models. So it's not going to be a lot of your business logic, but you can share all of your models. So if you update a model, it updates in your backend and your front end. I did this with the Evolve Conference app, which I keep bringing up time and time again. But what's really cool here, let me just pull it up because I have like 1 minute left before I go in. I'll pull up the URL since I keep talking about it. It's github.com/xamarinhq/appevolve. So boom, there it is. If anyone wants to photo that, that's where it's at. I'll tweet it out. But essentially here we have all the source code. So what's really nice is we have all the client APIs, the abstractions, Azure, unit tests, and this data objects is all of the data that's shared between my backend and my frontend. So my mini hacks, for instance, are right here. I have a base data object. If I'm on mobile, I do something special. And if not, all of this is shared automatically. So it's a nice way of doing this, nice like bridging mobile and client development together. So in summary, when we think about actually building applications, kind of think of this global scale. With Azure, you can say data reproduce. So if you see a spike in users in Asia, well, just open some more data centers up over there and cache all your data over there. Cache it locally first. You know, if you're offline, just cache it locally first. The API is there to do it. Always assume success. Just always assume success. Like, you're good. If you're offline, it's cool. Just assume that you've inserted it. You're good. Just don't worry. When you're back online and you've reconnected, push all that data up. Just kind of assume your user's always online and act that way. But just always check for connectivity first before making those connections. And then pick a backend that works for you. I think you should pick Azure, but there's a whole lot of different ones. What I wanted to come across and show is the importance of creating this online-offline mobile application. Whether you're doing it with Azure or you're doing it with something else, you should use Azure. But the SDKs are really nice, but the core principles remain the same. Pick a great backend that's going to give you that local cache, that's going to give you this push notification service, blob storage, that's going to tie into an existing database, that's going to work on-prem, off-prem, in the cloud. It doesn't matter. It's super powerful. You can do that with Azure today. You can learn all about how to do all of this and build applications with Xamarin at xamarin.com. Or you can learn out how to easily integrate the Azure backend, just like I showed you today, at xamarin.com/Azure. And you can grab all this source code at my GitHub, jamesmontemagno/app coffee cups. And I will actually upload the backend, I promise, this time. That way it'll help me a lot. And with that, I'm literally at my 5 o'clock. It went great. I hope you guys enjoyed this and enjoy the rest of Dev Intersection. Thank you so much, and I'll be around for questions.